Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to Radio Fishing, another edition of another thing from Fish and Frank's. We're going to try and keep you updated on what's going on fishing with the audio files and weekly updates on our main report page. But we got Jeff with us, and Jeff is a fishing instructor. Jeff actually goes out in the boat with you and shows you around. And I can tell you, if you're going to go on one of the rivers or want to find out about creeks or the most remote little hidden spots anywhere, I don't think there's one Jeff doesn't know. Hey, Jeff.
Thanks.
Right now, what's going on with the fishing? What's your guesses about what's happening out there fishing?
Well, right now the rains have stopped, and we're starting to get more saltier water moving in with every tide flow that we have into the river system. So as a result of that, a lot of these saltwater fish are moving further up the river system. So you don't have to go out as far as you used to have to go to now.
Now, I just checked. In Arcadia, we had about 2.5 feet of water.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually, for this time of year.
So, after 2 feet, we get water flow down?
2 feet, it starts to stop. It stops up there around Horse Creek. There's a big sandbar up there, and when it gets to be low tide, then it doesn't go over the bar anymore.
But we've still got just enough fresh water coming down to get a little bit of kind of protection from red tide, but really not really enough to mess up the fishing.
No, it's got the water nice and salty. You can keep your shrimp alive in the river system right now, all the way up past the Navigator in our river system, in the Peace River anyway.
So if you're here in Port Charlotte and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go down and get an aerator and all that, really the only thing you need the aerator for right now is to get the fish from the bait shop to in the canal or in your boat, and you can just put the bucket right in the canal and they should live great.
Yeah, they're living fine right now behind people's houses around the harbor and up in the river system fine. Yeah.
So with this, what do you look for up the river? I mean, now the river water's actually a little warmer than the harbor, isn't it?
It's usually a couple degrees warmer, and in the deeper spots it's going to stay consistent temperature, which is what the fish like. They don't like to have to move a long distance to get into a comfortable spot. If they can find something that they can just maybe move up and down in the water column in to stay in their comfort zone, they'll hang out in that area as long as the bait's there.
Well, everybody thinks Peace River's pretty shallow.
It's pretty shallow maybe once you get up past certain areas, but actually you can be an arm's reach off the shoreline and be in 13 feet of water right off the bank.
So where's a good spot to look for deep water up in the harbor? I just go north of Harbor Heights a little bit.
Yeah, all you got to do is start tolling up the river, looking at your depth finder. As the river turns to the left, the right side would be the deeper side. Generally, the inside of a turn is going to be the shallower water.
So the best place to look for fish right now is watch for even the gradual turns, because if it's going, like you say, if the river's giving a gradual curve to the left, don't cut the corner. Run way to the outside.
Try to run as far to the outside as you can. I find myself usually 8 to 10 feet off the shoreline, and with the rod hanging over the side, you know, that's right close to the edge of the shoreline. I'm probably trolling in about 8 feet of water as it starts to come up from the 13 feet.
So a lot of people mistake, because I think everybody wants to be in NASCAR. They always want to cut the corners.
That's right.
Cut the corners, try and get there quick.
Yeah.
But when we're fishing, we want to do the opposite. We want to take the slow lane. We want to be way to the outside. Yeah. If the river's curving to the right, you want to be way to the left.
That's right.
Always the outside, because when water starts on a curve, the same water that if you took a line across there, the water that starts making that curve on the inside only travels a little bit, but the water that's on the outside has to go many times farther and faster.
That's right.
So the outside's always cut out.
Yeah.
Now, what are you likely to find in these cuts?
A lot of times you find in these cuts snook, tarpon, and right now we're finding quite a few redfish.
A lot of redfish up there right now.
Yeah, they don't really mind the fresh water at all, and as long as they've got a bait source or a food source up there, which there's a lot of right now. You see a lot of birds diving in the river right now. A lot of small bait, but there's ladyfish underneath those, and there's snook and other things eating the ladyfish.
Yeah, I was looking out the porch the other morning. I could see the little rings, like somebody dropped a little tiny pebble in the water.
Yeah, right.
And people associate that a lot with trout, like freshwater trout, ringing at the surface.
Right.
It may surprise them to find out ladyfish do the exact same thing.
Yeah, and they're very much like it. A lot of times you'll find the trout underneath the ladyfish, if you can get your bait underneath the ladyfish.
Right. Now, one of my favorite spots for trout is when you're coming up from, let's say, 41 Port Charlotte going up river. As soon as I get under I-75, I make the first left, go through the Bird Key Cut there, and at the end of that, I make a left, and you got that long channel there. It's nice and deep. It's anywhere from 8 feet plus deep.
Yeah.
And it's all a slow zone, but you drift through there with a shrimp, and there's sand trout there, spotted trout, you have redfish along the shoreline, snook underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
It's a great little place to...
It's a good little place to go to, and a lot of people don't go there because they don't really associate it so much with fishing. I don't know why, but they don't.
Yeah, it's weird. No, I catch more whiting over by the taller part of the bridge, by the humpback part. I don't catch much whiting on that north end in that little flat, the flat side of the bridge on the north end, I-75.
But I usually catch a lot more redfish over there on that side.
But if you want whiting, there's quite a few of them now up by the main part of I-75 where the bumpers go through. If you go through, and as soon as you get a little deep water on either side of the bridge, I don't do well for them right under the bridge. I think there's too many snook and jewfish, and there's too many big predators.
We had a guy come in yesterday. He got a 54-inch snook at the I-75 bridge, but he was fishing for a black drum with a crab. So go figure.
And that would be a state record right now. State record's only 45 inches because they redid the record to do inches instead of pounds because of the thing.
Right.
So 54-inch would have been a great standing snook record. My biggest one is 52.
Biggest one's 43, so
I 52 is the biggest, longest snook. Biggest, but the longest. It was an August fish, so it didn't weigh anything. It was 22 pounds or something like that.
Like a nail, big head and a small body.
All spawned out and everything.
Yeah,
but they're gonna start gaining in weight. But lengthwise, you can get those big snook up river. I-75, Sansucci, Fort Ogden trestles.
And as it gets colder, it'll be further up the river you want to go. As far as you can really go, you can catch snook and redfish.
Now, what's the furthest up you've ever caught a snook? Because I know you run that river all the way up. I mean,
Wachula.
So you've caught snook up in Wachula.
Up in Wachula. And one year we were up there actually fossil hunting in the river, and we went to one corner of the river. And it's probably about 20 feet deep, but it was landlocked on both sides. There was probably about 50 or 60 snook in there, but they all looked like nails. You know, they'd been there all winter and they'd eaten out everything. You could have probably cast netted all of them if you had wanted to, but, you know, they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting in one spot.
Yeah, just kind of, okay, wait, there's got to be food coming.
waiting for the spring rains to come so they could get out of that hole,
Yeah, it's actually amazing when you get up river because it's so reliant on rain up there.
Yeah.
If we have a little bit of a drought, there is all of a sudden these just holes appear.
Yeah.
And there's a hole with fish in it, and then there's no water for feet, yards, quarter mile, mile sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times you have the limestone ledges, which go for probably about maybe 20 feet to 50 feet long, and they'll be dry, and you'll have to pull your boat across them and then get into the next hole and work your way down around and keep working it that way all the way down.
Well, anyway, so we've been talking with Jeff here, and Jeff is a fishing instructor. If you want to learn how to fish Peace River, Myakka River, Jeff's very fluent in all the rivers in the area and the little creeks and stuff. He goes in about out in the boat with you, shows you where to go, what to do, and how to do it. And it's much less expensive than a charter, and you actually learn more.
Yeah.
And so whether it's the harbor or the rivers, you know, you can come down and talk to Jeff and see about getting a fishing instructional trip. And I guess that's about all we're going to have time for today. Any last thoughts, Jeff?
Troll a lure. You know, if you're in a situation where you have to slow down and idle, throw a line out the back and troll a lure. I caught some of my best fish that way.
So if you're leaving the house and you've got 5-plus minutes before you get out of the canal,
throw a lure out the back. You never know what you're going to get. I caught some of my best fish going back to the house or going back to the dock. You know, every guy dumps out his boat at the dock, so, you know, that's a pretty good place to maybe find some fish.
There you go. All right, this is Fishing Frank and Jeff, and thanks to, again for listening to Radio Fishing, and more later, and anyway, bye-bye.